The mountains move at the touch of your hand. The sea is calm by whisper of your voice. The sky will break with your mighty touch. The trees will bow at your command. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Who is like unto thee, O Lord? Who is like unto thee, O Lord? Who is like thee, perfect in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? The Lord shall reign forever and ever. The deaf will hear, the dumb will speak, the blind will see, the lame will walk. Your healing hand has touched my soul, set me free and made me whole. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Who is like unto thee, O Lord? Who is like unto thee, O Lord? Who is like thee, perfect in holiness, perfect in wonder, doing wonders? The Lord shall
God's people say.
Thank you, Lawrence. Turn in your Bibles once again to Matthew chapter 13. Last week we looked at parables and more parables as Jesus is teaching the disciples here, and others around him are kind of trying to glean what they can from it, not able to understand all of it because not having been saved, some of the things that he was teaching was not understandable by them. And so when the Lord gives to us the Holy Spirit, he gives to us the ability to understand spiritual things. And Jesus continues in teaching the parables in this chapter. And next week we'll see Jesus feeding 5,000. And so he begins doing a lot of miracles. But now he's teaching them. And as we come to this portion of the scripture this morning, and we look at the parables that Jesus is teaching, I think there are 8 or 9 parables in this chapter, all having to do with the kingdom of heaven, where he says the kingdom of heaven is like this, it's like this, it's like this. And he gives all of these examples, these illustrations or parables to teach people what the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of heaven. Isn't it a wonderful thing that we can be a part of that, God's kingdom of heaven, knowing that this earth is not all there is, that we love a new year and opportunities to start anew. But boy, whenever we get to heaven, it's going to be a wonderful, glorious reunion and celebration there. And so we're going to see this morning in this chapter, as we finish up, the parable of the hidden treasure, the parable of the pearl of great price, and the parable of the fish net and all the fish that were caught there, the parable of the householder, and then finishes out the chapter where Jesus says a prophet is without honor, save in his own country. So let's pray and we'll look at this passage of Scripture. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the teachings of the parables that help us to understand the kingdom of heaven and what you have accomplished for us. Father, we thank you that we have a promise that heaven can be our home, that we don't have to hope that we make it and wait until we die to find out. But the Bible is very clear in letting us know that we can have full assurance of our salvation, that we are indeed a part of the kingdom of heaven. And Father, we pray as we learn more from these parables today that you would help us to be able to be better servants of you because of what we learned this morning. In Christ's name, amen. As he comes in, he talks about this hidden treasure in verse 44. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's hidden. And so a treasure that is hidden, if somebody knows where it is, they hid it. And of course, God knows the plan of salvation. He was pleased to reveal it to us. And so we have this hidden treasure, and this hidden treasure has potential value. But as long as it is hidden, it can't be used for anything. It might be of great value, but until it's taken out, it can't be used. And so that's the way we are before we're saved. We have some potential value. Our value becomes realized when Christ saves us. And at that time, we have some use for the kingdom of God, not because of what we are, but because Christ has saved us. I once was lost, but now I'm found there. And God has given to each one of us some type of treasures. And God doesn't want us to hide our treasures, our abilities. God wants us to use them in whatever ability you might have, whether it's, as Nathan says, singing in the choir, singing tenor, not like some of us, 10 or 12 notes off key, you know, but really can sing or something like that. You have a gift you can use for the Lord, then we don't want to hide it. We want to use it. But also notice in verse 44, it says, for the joy thereof. But not only is there potential value in here, there is pleasurable joy as well. Aren't you glad that whenever we get saved, God doesn't make us miserable? Sometimes people have that idea that if they just surrender all of their treasures to the Lord, God's going to make them miserable and send them off to another country or do something they don't want to do. But our God is not like that. Our God has saved us that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And one of Satan's greatest lies that he has today is that the things of this world will satisfy. And there's something better for you than what God has for you. And many people fall for that lie, don't they? And God has joy beyond compare that he has for us. For pastor appreciation, I had several gift cards, five or six gift cards, and a couple of these I got for Christmas as well. Don't you like gift cards? You have this gift card, and whether it's for a restaurant or, you know, a department store or something, you have that gift card, and it has some value to it, doesn't it? But if you just stick that gift card in your wallet and never bring it out, it's not going to be of any use. But there's great pleasure in taking that gift card, you know, and going and use it. You know, the meals usually taste better when they're free, don't they? And so God wants us to have pleasure in serving him. God doesn't want us to be miserable. He wants us to have joy. And whenever we come to find the treasure of salvation, we have joy. All things are passed away and all things are become new, and we have a different kind of joy, a joy that's not happiness, a joy that's not tied to whatever happens to us that's good, but we have a joy that is beyond things that happen in our lives. But also in this hidden treasure, we see that it's a permanent value. He says he goes and sells everything he has and he buys that field. And salvation is more valuable than anything we'll ever have. He was willing to go and sell everything to get this hidden treasure. And whenever we come to Christ, he has something more valuable than anything we can offer to him. That's a good deal for us, isn't it? And I say that reverently because we give him nothing. He takes all of our sins and he gives to us the righteousness of Christ. And so what a wonderful value that we have, because we are heirs of the kingdom of God. And Jesus in this parable is saying the kingdom of heaven is like this treasure. It's a wonderful thing, and it is ours as well. And then he says, starts verse 45 the same way he started 44. Again, he continues to say, here's another example. He really wants them to understand what the kingdom of heaven is like. And he says, there's this pearl, and a man sought it. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. And people today are seeking spiritual pearls. They're seeking something that has permanent value. They're seeking for something that gives eternal joy. And a lot of times they don't know where to find it. But we know that it is in the kingdom of heaven there. Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And so everyone that goes seeking for this wonderful treasure of the kingdom of heaven will find it. Jesus has promised that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And whenever we decide to seek for that, the Holy Spirit works in our hearts and convicts us of our sin, and we seek. And whenever we do, verse 46 says, when he has found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. So not only was this pearl sought, but it was also bought. Now, this doesn't mean that we can buy our salvation. It's not what the parable is teaching. Parables are wonderful lessons, but we don't base all of our theology on one parable. We look at all the entire Word of God to get the teachings of the Scripture there. But it was more like a trade than it was buying, because it says he sold everything he had. He was willing to get rid of everything he had for that one pearl of great price. And that's what I said earlier. Whenever we come to Christ, all that we have, all of our sins, because the Bible says that if we do have any righteousness, all the righteousnesses we have are as filthy rags. And we take those and we get rid of all those things, and we get the one pearl of great price. We trade all of our sins for his righteousness. What a wonderful pearl of great price here. Jesus continues teaching on parables, and now he's going to give another example. He's given examples for farmers. He's giving examples for merchants. Now he's going to give one for the fishermen here in verse 47. He says again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, and they cast the bad away there. And so here they are. We don't know exactly what kinds of fish were the good ones, which ones were the bad ones that they were going to throw away. But notice that they dropped the net into the sea. And so the picture Jesus is giving us here is that the sea has a variety of fish. They're different sizes. They're different shapes, different kinds. But it's for all. And so the kingdom of heaven is for all who will come to the Lord there. The gospel is for the whole world. That's why we have a missions program, to send the gospel out to the whole world. For Jesus died for the entire world. He didn't die just for Americans. He didn't die just for the elect. He died for the entire world, and anyone who comes to him can be saved. And verse 48 says, excuse me, after they drop the net, now they're going to draw the net to shore. And here's the net of fish, and it's full. And now they're going to pull it to shore. Have you ever thought about the end of the world in the sense of, we know that God has a plan. God knows everybody that's going to be saved. We don't. That's why we have evangelism. But God knows. He's omniscient. He knows everything. So he knows everybody who's going to be saved. Whenever the last person to be saved, that God knows is going to be saved, gets saved, what's going to happen then when the last person to be saved and that kingdom of God is full? Well, the Bible talks about the rapture, and maybe it's going to happen immediately then. And I think that, wouldn't that be something? If that's the way it's going to work, that if you were leading somebody to Christ and that was the last person to be saved, and you pray with them and they get saved, and now the kingdom of God is full and the rapture occurs immediately after leading someone to Christ, that would be pretty exciting, wouldn't it, there to have that happen. And so the drawing of the net is here. But verse 48 says, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down. So it shall be, verse 49, at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and separate the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And so Jesus says, this parable that I'm giving to you, telling you about a fisherman throwing away all the bad ones, that's like it's going to be at the end of the world, when the Lord comes and he's going to take those that are saved, those that have been part of the kingdom of God through faith in Christ, and they're going to spend eternity with him in the kingdom of heaven. But those that are lost, they're going to be cast into hell. There's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And so the discharging of the net, not everyone is going to be saved. It'd be a wonderful thing if everybody would be in heaven. But the sad truth of it is that many people, the Bible says the way to eternal damnation is broad, and many people go in that. Aren't you glad God doesn't make any mistakes? As the fish are being sorted out, the whole net is full. A fisherman can make a mistake and maybe throw one back and say, oop, I meant to keep that one. God's not going to say, oops, is he? God never makes mistakes. I remember when I was in high school, I had a part-time job in Bishopville. It was called the cucumber plant. I don't know, mine had another name for that. That's what we called it there. And so all the farmers would bring in their cucumbers, truckloads of cucumbers, and they had these conveyor belts, and they would dump them out on these things into cucumbers, and there were these men, our bosses were from Michigan. They didn't know the difference in a cucumber and a pickle. They called them pickles, and I tried to tell these men, they're not pickles yet, they're going to be, but right now they're cucumbers, but they always called them pickles. And so we would take those things, and as they would come up these conveyor belts, our job was really hard there. Some of us, you know, we would stand there, and the ones were called nubs, the round ones, they weren't good for pickles. We had to pull them off and cast them aside, and we had to separate the good cucumbers from the ones that were not fit for pickling there. And so that's very similar to what's going on. Well, we might have made some mistakes there, but there was some use for those bad ones because they didn't want them, the company didn't want them, so anybody could come by and take the round ones, and they taste just as good to me, so I always take a load of cucumbers home, you know, from the nubs, as they called them. But whenever God sorts out his kingdom, there's not going to be any use for those that are thrown away. There's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And so Jesus is doing these lessons on the kingdom of heaven. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. He doesn't want anyone to be like the fish that are no good, that are thrown away. He doesn't want anyone to be left out and just hidden in darkness and not found. Jesus came to seek and to save those that are lost. And he continues in these parables after he's teaching about the net of fish. And then he says in verse 51, have you understood these things? Jesus has given him all of these parables, and he says, now do you understand? That's the way we do when we teach, right? Anybody have any questions, you know? And sometimes people ask questions, and sometimes they'll say, I don't have any questions. They don't know what to ask. So the disciples said, yea, Lord, we understand. So Jesus said then, he said to them, after they said, we understand these parables, we understand the kingdom of heaven, we understand that there are some people that are going to go to heaven, there are some people that are going to be lost and spend eternity in hell. He says, therefore, since you understand this, he said, let me tell you about the householder in verse 52. He says, therefore, every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven, and that's what they have been. They've been instructed about the kingdom of heaven, and some of them were scribes that wrote these things down for us as well. It's like a man that's a householder. He brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. And so this householder is a wise man. He is instructed here. He's able to take what he hears, and he's able to communicate it to someone else so that they can know and understand about the kingdom of heaven. But this householder was not just somebody who had knowledge and instruction. He was a man that had wealth. It says he brings forth out of his treasure. And so this householder has a treasure. And so Jesus is telling the disciples, you have been given a pearl of great price. You have been given all of these fish. You've been given this understanding. You've been instructed in the kingdom of God. And therefore, now you are like a householder who has this wisdom and understanding. And notice those key words in verse 52, out of. Small words, but he says brings forth out of his treasure. And it doesn't say from his treasure, but out of his treasure. Because the treasure of God is never exhausted, is it? Anyone can be saved there. And so we have been committed by Christ, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have something very valuable to offer to people, eternal life. A spiritually wealthy person knows that to give out of his treasure is really to be investing. And that's what God wants us to do as believers. He wants us to invest in the lives of others, to take the gospel, and we can share the gospel with everyone, and it never runs dry. There's always enough. Jim Elliot, one of my favorite quotes, is from Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot, in his journal, I saw his handwriting as I was looking this week. He said he was a missionary to the Alka Indians. He said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. And Jim Elliot, he died January 8th, this Friday, will be 60 years ago that Jim Elliot died. And here he goes as a missionary to the Alka Indians, and the very people that he went to take the gospel to killed him there. And he gave his life to take the gospel there. And this quote that he has means so much. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. And we can think of that quote in terms of money. We can give to the Lord and we're not going to take it with us, and we're going to gain something that we can't lose. We can give our lives for the gospel's sake, like Jim Elliot did 60 years ago, and he's in heaven today. And the gospel, the kingdom of heaven, is like a householder that gives out of his abundance to others who need what he has been given, because we didn't earn it. It was given to us. Freely you have received, freely give. And then we come to the last part of the chapter, where now that Jesus has given all the parables, he's told the disciples what their responsibility is, that they are caregivers of the gospel. He said in verse 53, it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed. So he's done with the teaching, and he comes to his own country, and he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this his mother called Mary? His brethren are James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters. Are they not with us? Whence then hath this man all these things. And so he was teaching these lessons, and they were just astonished at his lessons because they watched him grow up. They knew his family. They watched him from the time that he was just a little toddler. And he grows up, and he didn't go off to school. And how does he have all of this knowledge? It says in verse 57 that they were offended in him. And Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And so here he was teaching parables. He was imparting to them great wisdom. He was even doing miraculous things. And he's going to do some more of those in the next chapter. And yet all of these things, they were amazed, it says. They were astonished at his knowledge. They were astonished the way he was able to take what he knows and communicate it. You know, there are some people who have a lot of knowledge, but they don't know how to communicate it. You've been in college or sometimes with a professor who is just so smart, and boy, he is just brilliant, but he doesn't have a way of letting you have that information. It can be frustrating. But Jesus had a way of teaching where he made it simple so that people could understand the gospel, and they were astonished at his lessons. But as we finish, there was also astounding unbelief. Sad at the end of the chapter, it ends by saying, Jesus did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. They knew who he was. They had seen him grow up, but yet they were offended. That word offended in verse 57 is a Greek word, scandalizo. We get our English word scandalous from that. And here they were offended in him, and they didn't believe. And because of their unbelief, Jesus said, you don't believe? I'm not going to do many works here. He could have done more, but their unbelief held back the mighty works of God. And so our New Year's message for this morning, as we finish the message here and we apply it to a new year, as we enter this new year, will your unbelief hinder the mighty works of God in your life? God wants us to believe him and trust him and have faith that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all the things we ask or think. They were astonished at his wisdom and his works, and we can be astonished as well, and we don't need to doubt. And we don't need to have unbelief because he's able. You have a loved one you're praying for who's not saved? He's able. He can save that person. It might be this year. I think we all probably have someone in our family unsaved that we're praying for. He's able to do that. Other needs you have? He's able. Unbelief can hinder the mighty works of God. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So let's not hinder the working of God with unbelief. God has given to us these parables of the kingdom to show us what is ours. And we have these hidden treasures that we can share with others. And may God be pleased to use us mightily in this year to do mighty works through us because of our faith. Let's pray, and then we'll have a time of communion as we customarily do on the first Sunday of the month. Father, we thank you for the parables of the kingdom of heaven. We thank you for the gospel of salvation. And Lord, we thank you for the joy that is ours whenever we come to find Christ as our personal Savior. Father, we thank you for those faithful people who understood the gospel and were able to share that gospel with us. And out of their abundance, they were able to give the message of the gospel and lead us to Christ. Lord, use us in that capacity as well to take from the abundance of the things that you have given to us and to be able to share them with others so that others can come to know this pearl of great price, Christ himself, who takes us into the kingdom of heaven. We look forward to that day. In Christ's name, amen.